Charlie Rich, the most beautiful girl, in the world. And, God, this is hard. You know, part of me talking to you, I was like, oh yeah, this is how I communicate. This is how I feel sometimes as I speak, and I speak in front of other people, and it lets my mind work and digest things. And I do feel like I'm in front of an audience right now, but I also feel like I'm just talking to myself. I'm the only one in the studio. Don't worry, I'm okay. but you know, it's a strange feeling, because part of me just wants to break down right now and just start crying and tell you how much I miss her and how much I loved her. Just say it to myself, because sometimes I'm just saying it to myself, you know. And the, I mean, we'll talk more about grief and what grieving has looked like for me, because I, you know, I enjoy thinking about this stuff. Even, I don't know, maybe enjoy is the wrong word, but I think about these things and I need to process them. And sometimes I process them out loud. And so here I am going to do that a bit with you. But I also want to celebrate her, my mom. And maybe this is, like, you know, somewhat self-indulgent, but whatever. They gave me a radio show, KPTZ. So this is what you get. Frederica Rice, born August 29th, 1943. I'm going to read to you the obituary that was written by my dad, Steve Rice, John Stephen Rice, maybe listening now. Hey, Dad, I love you. And we're here. One of the things my dad said the night that she died, he made 16 phone calls that night. And the man, yeah, brought us the saddest news in the world. But the one thing that he would say, bringing us this news, was, you know, we will get through this. We are a family. And so lucky to have you, Dad. I'm going to read the obituary you wrote with some help from Nat and other brothers. But really, this is my dad's work, and I think it's a testament to her life. So Frederica Rice, known as Freddie to family and friends, died on March 6, 2021. She was born August 29, 1943, to June Wooden and Ray Dudley. Ray Dudley died 3 months after she was born. June remarried, and Frederica was joined by her brother, Gil Bliss. They grew up in Houston, Texas, and enjoyed summers with their grandmother in Princeton, New Jersey. Frederica majored in philosophy at William & Mary in Virginia, graduating in 3 years, and then marrying Bruce Burgess on her 21st birthday. He was hired to teach English at Lakeside School in Seattle. Frederica pursued her MA at the University of Washington while raising their sons, Nat and Josh. When Bruce died in a light plane crash in 1972, she was hired to take over his teaching position at Lakeside. In 1974, she married Steve Rice. Their first adventure together was living for 4 years on a small farm in Whatcom County. Steve worked in a shipyard while she ran the farm, fulfilling a childhood dream. Returning to Seattle, she completed a PhD in American Lit at the University of Washington while pregnant with son Paul. That's me! Son Glenn, he's pretty cool too, followed a few years later. And then Frederica joined the faculty of Edmonds College, where she taught philosophy and English for 25 years. After retiring from Edmonds, she taught philosophy to a senior citizen group at the Lifetime Learning Center. Every morning, Frederica wrote in her journal. She left the family over 200 volumes of her writing. Frederica enjoyed a wide range of music, but especially loved her piano and playing chamber music. She was a longtime subscriber to Seattle Opera. Her gardens were full of roses, raspberries, dahlias, and vegetables. Family meals were often works of art as she cooked her way through Julia Child's books. She and Steve and their sons hand-built a cabin in southeast Alaska. They spent summers there teaching grandkids how to fish and drive skiffs. Her smoked salmon made a lot of people happy. Always adventurous, she did a static line parachute jump to celebrate her 50th birthday. Downhill skied well into her 70s and walked at least a mile a day. Frederica is survived by 8 beloved grandkids, husband Steve, sons Nat with partner Erica, Josh with partner Kara, Paul with partner Louisa, and Glenn, partner Stacy, as well as her brother Gil, partner Denise, and numerous Wooden and Dudley cousins. A family would like to express our sincere thanks to the Seattle Fire Department, EMTs, and the Harborview Hospital ER doctors and nurses. Remembrances are suggested to Planned Parenthood of the Northwest and Hawaii or the University of Washington Heart Institute. So she really loved playing the piano. Like, she did not grow up really playing the piano, but it was sort of later in life she decided, because this was my mom, she made the decision that she was going to become able to play the pieces she loved on the piano, as many of them as she could. And keep in mind, this is a woman who had hands bigger than mine, and pretty much towards, you know, the last, you know, few, like, time of her life, had a lot of arthritis in these hands. But she committed to the piano. She just gave her all to it. So I wanted to play one of my favorite pieces when I think of her, and thinking of her playing not just this piece, but lots of other Eric Satie pieces. So this is Gymnopédie 1. This one's by interpreted by Thomas Lemmer. And I just think it's such a beautiful piece and makes me think of her at home practicing the piano well into her 70s, not for any kind of showboating, just because it was something that she wanted to excel at, because she wanted to do this, and so she did it.
This year, the Port Townsend Main Street program reminds you to love where you live, to shop, dine, play, and stay in Port Townsend. You can show your love and support of local businesses and restaurants by shopping locally, ordering to go using curbside pickup, and dining outdoors at cozy street eateries. The website iloveporttownsend.com has more info about this campaign and our local business owners. This campaign is made possible by First Federal Community Foundation, the Port of Port Townsend, Windermere Real Estate, KPTZ 91.9 FM, and the Port Townsend Leader.
So this is Filter. We're remembering Frederica Rice, my mom, who died back on March 6th. And that was Gymnopédie 1. Eric Satie, as interpreted by Thomas Lemmer. My mom loved to play that song, loved to play Eric Satie tunes on her piano. And so today we're going to be celebrating mom in this first hour, and then we'll talk to George Marie for the second hour about grief. Because, hey, guess what? it's the year of grief for many of us. And, you know, George and I talked about grief before, but we'll see. We may have some new thoughts, and I definitely want to talk about my process, because that'll help me. And yeah, and if you want to stick around, appreciate everybody reaching out, sending messages. I know you're there. I feel you there. Thanks, Heidi and Don. I promise I'll call you back soon, Don. Just one of those things. We'll get there. But thank you for listening. And as I noted in, well, as Dad noted in the obit, Mom's first husband, she married when she was 21. He died in a plane crash, leaving my brothers without a dad. Nat was 5, Josh was 3. And, you know, my mom had lost her dad before she even met him. You know, she was like 3 months old. And, when she lost Bruce, I think she thought that was it, kind of, because she didn't see herself getting remarried. She saw too many complications with that. And so she would put the kids to bed, take care of the kids, take care of her lessons, you know, because she was teaching at Lakeside. And then she would, after they were all in bed, she would just lay in the floor of her living room on a big pillow. She would read. She would listen to records. And she always told me that in the first few, well, it was a long time. You know, grief takes a long time, and the sudden grief maybe takes longer. I don't know. But she would listen to songs, and one of the songs, the hardest song for her, the song where she would picture Bruce out there, her husband who had died, she would listen to Rocket Man by Elton John. And she would tell me that she would visualize Bruce as being on that rocket ship up to Mars away, and that Mars, where he was going, ain't no kind of place to raise a kid. And I think the visualization, I mean, it made her sad, but I think it also made her so happy because she always loved the stars and she loved space travel and astronomy, among the many other things that she loved. So I'm going to play Rocket Man. And then we're going to listen to the interview that I did with her back in December. So this is Rocket Man, Elton John. This is for you, Mom. Now we're thinking of you when we listen to this song.
Hi, this is Delana, host of Music to My Ears. The top of our KPTZ website reads, "Radio connects us all," and we volunteers realize we represent you, because we too are part of this community, your neighbors, friends, and relatives. With local, state, and national issues changing daily, community radio is more important than ever. We are your voice through in-depth interviews, music programs, news, and emergency information. Do you count on us? Because we count on you. We are funded entirely by community contributors. Like other media subscriptions, consider becoming a monthly 91.9 FM supporter. Go to kptz.org and you'll see the blue Donate Now button to our safe and simple donation form. Your voice will be heard through your contribution. That you've become a KPTZ supporter will be music to my ears.
Back on Filter. We're celebrating my mom, Frederica Rice. And now here is the interview that Michael Grady and I had with her on Christmas 2020. And I hope you enjoy it. I haven't really listened to it, so I will turn my mic off for this. Well, I would turn my mic off anyways. But anyways, this is we called my mom on Christmas. Here's the interview. You know who is listening? I think we also have, I'm kind of nervous. I believe we have my mom, Frederica Rice, live with us on Filter for the first time ever. Mom, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Paul. I'm happy to be here.
Hey, Doc. What's up, Doc?
Merry Christmas.
What's up, Wells?
Merry Christmas, Mom. Don't just ignore Michael trying to be Bugs Bunny to you.
All right. Well, I Merry Christmas to you and Michael. And I liked that song.
Did you like it?
Good song. Yeah.
Do you like the original? Do you know the Rolling Stones original, "Sympathy for the Devil"?
No, I don't.
It's somewhat of a famous song, but yeah, I mean, well, did you? So, Mom, when you were growing up, it was like an era where Elvis was popular or not popular. Tell us, you know, without dating yourself, because we don't want to out you on that. But
no,
like,
I don't mind dating myself, but I was beyond Elvis. We were the Beatles and the Kingston Trio and Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Mm. Is that why you named me Paul?
And, pardon me?
Is that why you named me Paul after Peter, Paul, and Mary?
No, it isn't. No, okay. It's a family name.
Got it.
One that belonged to very much admired uncles. So, and friends. We had a lot of friends named Paul. So that's how you got your name.
And it wasn't after
your middle
the,
name, Silas.
Yeah.
Is a family name that goes way back. So,
and
yeah.
And now I have
it sounds good.
And now I have a, what is it called? A nephew named Silas. Is Silas my nephew? I don't remember.
Yes.
Okay. Good.
He is your nephew.
Okay.
Your brother's son makes him a nephew.
Yes. And what a great name. You know, I often thought about going by Silas if I ever had a writing career. I would just change my name to Silas. But you know, I've become Paul is who I feel like ever since I learned about the Sword of Damascus or the light on the road to Damascus, hanging over Paul's head. I felt a kinship to that particular Paul, and in a good way, you know, a happy way. So I love my name. I'm glad I'm not named after Peter, Paul, and Mary, although I do appreciate all those Channel 9 live concerts that you let us watch growing up of Peter, Paul, and Mary. I fondly remember those.
Well, there's a couple of other things about your name, Paul, because your initials, PSR, have a significance in philosophy.
Okay.
And I was a philosophy instructor for many, many years, as you know, and it stands for the principle of sufficient reason, PSR.
Well, that's Paul all over.
It's not a a proof or a known thing or something that is absolutely certain, but it's the belief that there's a cause for everything.
Did you say sufficient reason?
Sufficient, yes.
Okay, so I can feel like I have sufficient reason. I don't know if I have it in spades, as has been proven over the years of my life, but I do believe I have sufficient reason in order to operate.
I would agree with your assessment.
Wait, no, you're supposed to say I'm extremely reasonable, Mom.
No.
Well,
but you have to realize that the word reason in that three-word thing has another meaning than using your brain. It means cause. Mm. In terms of there's a reason for everything.
Mm.
Not reasoning, but cause.
Got it.
Principle of sufficient cause.
Yeah.
But as you know and are aware, even though I know you're not a scientist, we don't know that there's a cause for everything. In fact, some things are uncaused. But
wow, you heard it here.
You got to have a principle to live on, and when you flick that light switch, you got to believe that the light's going to go on.
Well, the one thing we can all agree on existing in reality is, at least on today, we can agree that Santa Claus exists.
That's right.
Yeah. Santa Claus came last night. And so are you feeling in the Christmas spirit right now? Are you feeling extra Christmassy?
I certainly am. I've had a wonderful morning. We've had music and presents under the Christmas tree, and then we went out and took a walk around the lake, and it didn't rain, and it was lovely outside, and we saw many neighbors and wished them all a Merry Christmas. And then we came back and got to sit by the tree and enjoy a peaceful afternoon. And I get to talk to you, so.
Yeah,
that's pretty great.
That's, I mean, you know, I talk to myself all the time, so it's nice to actually talk to other people instead.
Well, then you know the pleasure in the of talking to Paul Rice.
Of talking to me.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
As long as I am in possession of sufficient reason.
Exactly.
Well, look, I just proved I didn't listen. But Mom, I want to hear about your presents. I want to hear if Dad did okay on Christmas presents.
Oh, I got some lovely presents.
Okay.
I got a brand new pepper grinder.
Ooh.
That's small enough to go up on
the more coarse pepper for you.
And it's not going to fall over every time you place it up there improperly.
Oh, man.
As you know, having cooked with my stove for many years.
Yeah. I mean, the pepper grinder you have is so tall. It's like...
It's way too tall.
It's the pepper grinder of Babel.
And we've dumped it down so many times by not putting it up carefully that I got a new one for Christmas, and it's not too big.
Well, good on you, Dad.
He did a great job. And you know, I got a book about opera. What more?
Ooh.
You know, I'm an opera fan.
Yeah.
And Steve gave me some pretty blue and white placemats with something new for my tabletop decor. So I am well gifted today.
Well, that is awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about the opera book.
You know what? I got nothing today.
Yeah, Michael got nothing.
Yeah, Paul got me nothing.
I truly got him nothing. I almost gave him a dinosaur that I got for the girls, but then I was like, no, he'll know.
No, yeah. I'd appreciate the dinosaurs, but I don't want to take any dinosaurs away from
I didn't bring it for you anyways.
Because
I didn't get you anything.
No, you were going to give it to me, but you forgot even that because...
Yeah, I even forgot, but even then when I was...
You.
Yeah, no, it's really bad. It's really bad, Mom. Mom, I need to be chastised. Mom, I need to be punished.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. He's been punishing himself all morning. He's been self-flagellating.
It's true. I've got a whip and chains in here, and I'm really going to have to clean up the studio when I'm done.
Okay.
It's pretty,
all the
it's
splatter.
Pretty bad. Well, so, Mom, what's the opera book about before I let you go out of our cacophonous three-way conversation here?
Okay, well, it's actually a novel about a man who wants to break into the opera world. And he's got a fantastic voice, but he's older and he's sort of unskilled in the area where operas take place. You know, like
he can't sing?
On Pardon me?
Like he can't sing?
He has a great voice. That's the whole premise. He's been a singer in choirs all his life. But somebody has finally told him that he could be a successful opera singer if he goes and gets training. Paul, I haven't read it yet.
Oh,
I
got
chapters. And you, they're funny.
You had it's all morning written, to read it, Mom.
It's written by someone who loves opera and also has a great sense of humor and an understanding of how selfish some opera singers and orchestra conductors can be. Mm. So they get quite skewered in the chapters that I've read.
Well, it's about time.
So I would say it's just funny.
Well,
so I think I will enjoy it, and it will be a lighthearted escape from some of the other things going on right now.
Oh,
yes.
Boy.
Yeah. Well, do you have any final Christmas wishes that you'd like to blast out over the airwaves?
Oh, I just want people to greet each other
with
smiles and friendship and keep that holiday spirit going. As much as you can.
Well, I love that, Mom. I love you. And I wish you the merriest of Christmases. And, yeah, you're in my heart.
Well, here's love for you too, Paul. And thanks so much for letting me share this time.
Yeah, we'll do it again soon. Maybe next Christmas.
It's good to hear you, Mrs. Rice.
Yeah.
So long, Mike. You have a Merry Christmas, too.
Oh, thank you. You too.
All right, Mom. Bye-bye. Wow.
KPTZ is supported by Poor House, a craft beer bar and bottle shop on the beach in Port Townsend. 7 days a week at 2231 Washington Street. More info at ptpoorhouse.com.
We're back on Filter. I'm Paul Rice. I survived that somehow. Today we are celebrating the life of my mom, Frederica Rice. If you didn't know her, well, she was pretty great. If you did know her, you know. And just been playing songs that she loved. That was Jim Croce, Time in a Bottle. Man, she loved Jim Croce. And I'm a lifelong fan of Jim Croce because of her. As a lyricist, such a great narrative storyteller, you know, with images both poetic and plain. He's fantastic. Also died in a plane crash, light plane crash. Too young, didn't have enough time to really, you know, fully. But he gave us so much music, and I really appreciate being able to play that. And just before that, we listened to an interview, brief interview, that Michael Grady and I did on Christmas Day in 2020 with Mom, and she shared her thoughts. There's a lot of me talking over her and that, and I'm going to go back in time and be like, shut up and listen to your mom, Paul. But, God, you know, she sounded so happy, and she was happy. You know, she was sad about some of the things going on in, like, her children's lives and in the world and in politics and all that, but she could find a way forward through that malaise. And when she talked at the end about just wanting people to greet each other, you know, that's my mom, is to give people the kind face at the beginning, always give them the kind face and mean it, and encouragement. She was a beacon of encouragement. She never wanted you to let up. She never wanted you to slow down. She wanted to find ways to help you go and do what you wanted to do. And I think she got that largely because when she was a kid, when she was a teenager, you know, she wanted to be a pilot. The flying figures in a lot here. She wanted to fly airplanes, and she wrote about it. I actually found this beautiful essay from when she was 16 in high school. She kept all her writings, you know, and she talks about how that was her next plan, was to get her pilot's license. But then somebody very important in her life told her that women couldn't be pilots, which was shocking and awful for her, but she took that alchemist that she was, she took that negativity and she transformed it into positivity. And no, she didn't go get her pilot's license, but she sure did encourage herself and try and do so many other things. And most importantly, other people, she would not let them give up on their dreams. she felt like she had her dream smashed so many times, and she came back around and found the strength to follow through. And she wouldn't let other people get caught up in that web of negativity. That was tragic to her. That was a tragic thought that somebody would allow the negativity to absorb them and take their dreams away. She wasn't having that. She wasn't here for it. When things are hard, maybe some people tell you, you stop doing them if they're hard, you know, but she would be the one that says, just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not worth, I mean, yeah. Things that are hard, whatever. I don't know. You know the platitudes, but they're not platitudes coming from her. You know, she really believed that that we should lift people up and help them accomplish their dreams and not tell them that it wasn't worth it if it was something that they really wanted to do. So here's another song that Mom loved by a band that I have a love-hate relationship with, but especially in the past couple of weeks, I'm like, God, I do love this band. And went cross-country in an old station wagon with no car seat because you didn't need them back then. Or maybe I had a car seat, but I wasn't in it half the time. Anyways, Dad, you're probably listening to this and be like, don't tell them this. But anyways, this is Penny Lane by the Beatles. Penny Lane, the Beatles. That one's going out to my mom, but also going out to Brian Vart and Penny Vartaresian. Penny passed about a year and a half ago. And the number of your mom jokes that Brian, my good friend Brian, and I make, they kind of went downhill then. And now both our moms are gone. So here we are, buddy. Penny was amazing. And Brian and I talked the other night. And you know what Brian said, you know, we're just feeling the loss, and even feeling the loss a year and a half later, right? The loss doesn't go away. The grief doesn't really end. But you are able to get back on with your life, maybe, hopefully. But, you know, he just looked at me and he's like, they were our rocks. And he's right. And we are so lucky, Brian, and anybody else who's had a mom like this, to have these people in our lives to guide us, but also get out of our ways, too. Like, it's incomprehensible. I don't know how you get through the world without that. You know, and now that she's gone, I know I can get through the world, but it's like, wow, was I paying enough attention? Was I present enough? Did I say thank you enough? Did I say I love you? And the last words I said to her when I didn't quite know that she would die was, I said I love you, and I just feel like I'm so lucky I got to say that. But I mean, all the other things that I could have and wanted to say and would want to say, and when it's sudden, you don't get to. But man, you can't appreciate a mother's love enough. I can't appreciate her love enough. And yeah, so shout out to you, Brian. Shout out to you, Penny. FYMIH and forever. So much love there. We're doing Filter, special little Filter. My mom died, Frederica Rice, on March 6th, and playing songs Mom would have loved. Or not would have. She loved these songs. It's guaranteed. And then in the second hour, we're going to be talking to George Marie. Got a couple more songs for Mom to play before we transition into that second part. I'll have some more Mom stories to tell. Maybe. I'll tell the ones I can tell. Yeah. I'll tell some more Mom stories. I'll do it. In the meantime, here's a song she really loved. I remember listening to this record over and over again. This is Wild World by Yusef Islam / Cat Stevens, as you may know him now. This is Filter, Paul Rice. We're doing a special celebration of Frederica Rice, my mom, who died on March 6th, died having the best day, as she said. And, you know, there's just a moment that where she left, and the rest of it was the best day. And it was the best life that she made out of. She made it that life, you know. She made it that way. And I think, I don't know what took her fear away. I don't know if she was ever afraid of anything, you know. And she probably was, but she would never show it. She didn't want you to see her fear, because she always worried that any way, like anything that was wrong with her, if she was going to express it too much, that it would hold other people back. And there's like positives of that, and there's negatives to that, I think. But the positive is that, she was always going to, you know, it kept her up with the encouragement, and it helped her, I think, and everything she'd been through, just say, I'm going to enjoy every day like it's the last day. I remember flying in a plane with her, sitting next to her, and there was just terrible, terrible turbulence. Like the plane would dip and then straighten out and dip. And I was just, I was scared. I'm still like slightly scared of flying, but I was like really a lot more scared of flying back then. Maybe because largely I was more, way more afraid of death than I am now. And I remember just looking at mom and grasping her hand. I must have been like 12, you know, 11, 12 or something. And I held her hand and I just said, Mom, I'm, you know, I'm scared. And she's like, it's going to be okay. And I was like, but yeah, but what if, you know, what would you do? Like, what would you do, Mom, if like the plane started to hurtle into the ground, to shoot into the ground, you know, and we started going down, you know, what would you do? And she told me like flat out, well, I would look out the window and enjoy the view as we went down. And that blew my mind. I mean, like some people might say that to you in a way where they're kind of like trolling you. But she was absolutely serious, and she was telling her kid that. And it was this moment of remembering how precious it all is. I mean, precious to be flying in the sky in a giant aluminum wingsuit, you know, I don't know, I was going to say coffin, but, you know, the preciousness of every moment, remembering it and feeling it and not being afraid of it, but welcoming it no matter what it was, you know, and wanting to feel alive and wanting to feel that sense of life. Yeah, I'm not doing a decent job of communicating it, but it was a pretty, it was like scary, but somehow her talking about how she'd watched the view going down soothed the moment for me and just said, well, if she's not going to be afraid of that, then maybe I can summon something in myself to also not be afraid of it, because I'm not making anything better by being afraid of it. She gave me strength, and something that she said about her boys. She raised four boys. Yeah, four boys. Yeah, don't, I mean, I don't envy that, but I don't even know what it's like to raise one boy, but I will. Maybe. Yes, I mean, I definitely will. God, this is my off speak, but she wanted all her children to be only two things. There's only two requirements that she felt like she had for her children, and that was that they be strong and that they be kind. And I know my brothers, I know who they are in and out, and I know that they have those two characteristics. We have that. She gave us that. And Nat, Josh, Glenn, I love you guys so much. And we're pieces of mom. We're so lucky to be pieces of Frederica Rice, little soul vessels. And now my kids, soul vessels of Frederica Rice. We couldn't be any luckier, and I couldn't be any happier about who I am and where I come from. Here's another song mom loved, The Only Living Boy in New York. You've been listening to Filter on KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend. Special episode honoring the life of my mom, Frederica Rice, and talking about grief. I really thank you guys for being here with me to do this.